Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
What's going on, everybody? This is Rob just cutting in really quick to tell you all about Chegg. That's right, Chegg. Chegg is a leader in online study assistance. Whether you need textbook solutions or expert Q&A, there is no better tool to help you ace your class than Chegg Study. They have everything you need to make the most out of any study session or breeze through even the toughest of homework problems. Study at home, on your desktop, or anywhere on the go with the Chegg Study mobile app. Now you see, Chegg for me when I was in college was just a place you went to go and rent books, but Chegg is stepping it up. It's crazy. Speaking of Chegg helping you out with your studies, you can get online study assistance that will never break the bank. Get more for your money with Chegg Study. Subscriptions are affordably priced and can be canceled at any time. So if you want to take advantage of the Chegg Study program and get $5 off your first month's subscription, you're going to go to chegg.com/BOM and use promo code BOM. That's chegg.com/BOM. B as in boy, O as in ostrich, M as in money. Once again, that's chegg.com, chegg.com/BOM.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, once again to another edition of the Woke Bros. I'm your host, Big Waz, of course. As always, my paisan, Michael Brooks, is in the building all the way out in Brooklyn.
Good to be back with you, man.
Oh, yes, of course, as always. And today, man, we got a very, it's a very heavy Woke Bros show. I'm not going to lie. Everybody knows what happened last Sunday. Out here in Los Angeles, California. So I thought it was necessary that we had my brother Black Trey on, being that, you know, he's a citizen of LA, born, bred, raised. If you ever met Trey, you know that he's Compton through and through. And, you know, he is a very encyclopedic knowledge about the culture and just about how things go out here. So I just thought it was important. All of us did. We thought it was important that we talked to Trey. Sort of untangle some of the things that have come out as far as the slaying of the rapper Nipsey Hussle. So welcome, Trey, your first Woke Bros. I'm so happy to have you on, man. I wish it was under better circumstances, but I'm proud to have you on today.
Man, thank you guys for having me on. Unfortunately, I'm not woke today because I do want to shut down some conspiracy theories that's based on this particular situation. And just kind of shine light on what the outside don't see and why people are mourning Nipsey Hussle so much.
Okay, so let's just get the facts out the way. For those of you who don't know, Sunday afternoon, Nipsey was walking outside of, I don't know if he was walking out or if he was already standing outside of his store, the Marathon store, his clothing store out there on Crenshaw and Slauson. And an assailant walked up shot him six times, shot two people that were with him, fled in a car that was driven by a woman. Early reports for that, it was somebody that Nipsey knew. That came out immediately. That was out there from the get-go. It was like, this is not some random, or wasn't just a drive-by, because like, for somebody to come up close and personal, right? You know if it's like an enemy of yours, if you see him 15 feet away, you're going to be ready for something to happen. So for him to get up close and personal with Nipsey and the people that he with, everybody, every report that came out of it was like, yo, this is somebody that Nipsey knows. He died on the way to the, he was pronounced dead at the hospital. They say he died on the way to the hospital in the ambulance. And, immediately I started talking to Trey. Things started coming out about, well, Nipsey's a Crip and he's in the neighborhood and this might be gang related and blah, 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 blah. But I just want to say, Trey, like, for me, it seemed like kind of obvious from the start, like just knowing anything that knowing the little bit that I know about Nipsey Hussle, he's not some active gang members participating in active gang banging and actively banging on dudes, you know, on his days off. Like, he's not in some war, right? The nature of Los Angeles being what it is, he might have a personal issue with somebody who's also affiliated with a gang. But that's because everybody's affiliated with a gang. That doesn't mean what happened between them personally was quote-unquote gang-related activities. Can you speak on that a little bit, Trey?
Yeah, so, Waz, to clear up pretty much the association, being born in Los Angeles County, there's a quote by Nipsey Hussle basically saying, like, where your mom pays rent is where you from. You know what I mean? Like, you don't really get a choice to say, oh, I'm not going to gangbang or not. You know what I mean? Like, you're kind of placed with that all by default of the neighborhood that you're from. You know what I mean? Like, it's unfortunate that that's the, you know, the situation that you have to deal with. Because I think majority of the time, most children and teens and adults don't want to make that decision, but you're kind of faced with it because of protection and then also survival. You know what I mean? Like, and you know what I mean? My personal experience, I lived in a blood neighborhood that my father was from. And I went to high school in two Crip high schools. You know what I mean? Like, and I had to be faced with the reality of, like, every day I potentially, you know what I mean, put my life in danger in this situation, just trying to go to school and play sports at a particular school.
And so, you know, like, basically what Trey is saying is, like, I live on a block that is affiliated with Bloods, the Blood Gang. That's my gang. That's it. It's not about, oh, well, you know, I like the rules that the Crips abide by. It's like, this is my block. This is my gang. There's no two ways about it. So wherever I go, I'm associated with this gang, right?
And just to add, and can I add to that, and also that if I understand what you're saying correctly too, first of all, yeah, it's not like, oh, I'm going to go shop around for a gang to join, see like which has the best profit margins, the best benefits, the best organizational culture. Yeah. I like, let me talk. Let me see who's
approved. So not to cut you off, there's actually a situation like that, and they call those guys Transformers. Now, obviously not like the New York gang, but what they say is that, you know, Waz, for example, may have grew up in a Crip neighborhood. Right. And he's got to a decent enough age to make his own decisions at 16, 17. And he's probably been a Crip all his life, and he finally decides to switch up. And we see him two years later, and he's a Blood. And you're, like, scratching your head. Like, I got pictures of him throwing up, you know, this set. But that happens so often. You know what I mean? Guys go to jail, they get beat up, they get extorted. And, you know, and this is pre-social media era. So at that time, that was happening so common. You know what I mean? Where guys were so confused, or, you know, they found liking in other guys. You know what I mean? Like, in that situation of the comfort of a family. Because, I mean, that's where kind of gang represents as far as family. You know what I mean? Like, because of the poverty and the low income housing, and most of your parents sometimes are on drugs, they're not available, you're in and out of the system, you've ran away, and these people have Make sure you've eaten. Make sure you know, they have like flunky houses where it's abandoned, but that's where everybody's kicking it, smoking and drinking, and you know, and that's where you find your comfort at. So it's not necessarily always, I guess, negative in that standpoint, because people do find families in it.
So people can't. All right. So people actually can switch up. But I guess the other thing that I was going to say, which maybe I think might be more like is very relevant, maybe just for even people that have like no interest in the rest of this. Right. They're not going to go into any of the intricacies. But just the idea, if I understood you correctly before we came on air, that like, it also really has nothing to do with what you want. Like, you could be like, hey, this kid's a great student. He's going to go to college. He's going to do all the quote unquote right things. But he's still part of this just because of the geography of where we're at, period. Case closed. That's it.
Absolutely. Yes. And by the way, Mike, it's like a well-to-do kid is not the norm, right? So it's like,
I'm saying, take the classic, like, you know, hey, like Bill Clinton, like if you work hard, you play by the rules, like,
right.
You know, the kid who's, you know, yeah, like every, it's poor, all of it, but they got the SAT prep, they're figuring it out, they're testing well, they're going to go on and supposedly move up the economic ladder and do all of the things that you're quote unquote supposed to do. Right. If you are on a certain stretch of land, you're part of it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
Whether you're on the debate team or not. That's what I was trying to clarify.
Right. Okay. And it's based on the fact that nobody else cares. Right. Like, you're from that block.
Moral choice. It's
and
not
we
a
have
moral,
problems with that block.
It's not a moral. That's important, I think.
And so I want to get to the part because, you know, a lot's been made the last few days, Trey, about like just what it means for Nip to get. And again, he's not Kendrick or Drake or Cole or even a 21 or a Chance. Right. But he's a pretty successful rapper. He's gotten to be really successful in a way that would allow for him to go move on with his life away from the corner of Slauson and Crenshaw. Right. So I just want you to talk about what it means for somebody to achieve the level of success that Nip has achieved. Rub shoulders, been in the rooms that Nip has been in the rooms that he's been in. Right. Like the type of people that know who he is. Like he's on a first name basis with Sean Carter. Right. Like he's on a first name basis with like some of the biggest power players in all of industry. You know, what did it mean to you that Nipsey would open up a brand new store, buy up that whole strip mall, like try to build it up? Like, what did it mean for you as somebody who grew up? And by the way, since you've been born, there's been people who've been, you know, coming out of Compton, becoming successful rappers, some more successful than others. Like, and not to say that Nipsey's from Compton, but you know what I mean. What did it mean for you for Nip to be doing that?
I mean, just watching his growth from 2008 to now, you know what I mean? Like, you have to understand, like, which I spoke on a previous pod of how passionate I was supporting his album and supporting his career. I can't say that I was always for him, you know what I mean? Because there was real life situations where, again, I'm from Compton and we don't really get along with West Los Angeles like that. Mm-hmm. But I did respect him as an individual and, you know, we were similar in age. I mean, I was a couple months older than him. But in the situation of how he carried himself in the direction that he was trying to go, you know what I mean? Like, this man was a father to his kids. He was probably one of the smartest individuals out there at our age and was constantly teaching. He was one of those guys that if you got around him, you know what I mean? Like, he was evident that he was a Crip, but he was a smart Crip. And what I mean by that, during his studio sessions, he would throw in documentaries. He's suggesting books. He's buying equipment for young guys, he was constantly trying to make better for his community. He knew what it really was, you know what I mean? And he was constantly educating. Around 28, 29 years old, he was transitioning in his career of like, you know, doing these studies and reading and educating himself on how to be a better businessman. And, you know, I mean, he signed a bad deal early on and he got out of that and he found a way to get his master's. And he was an entrepreneur early, selling out the trunk of his car. I remember, you know what I mean? Like a funny time, myself and Marcus Williams actually on Slauson and Crenshaw around 2007, 2008, and he was selling his mixtape, Bullets Ain't Got No Names on it, Volume 1, out of the trunk of his car, and this guy looks like Snoop Dogg. And instead of purchasing a CD, we just drive off. You know what I mean? Because we don't know. That's just not a, first of all, it's not an area if you're not from there to really hang out at. And
of course.
Secondly, like, you know, I don't know this guy. During that time of trying to sell a CD for $5-$10, I'm not going to spend my money on that. You know what I mean? Like an unknown artist. And, you know, he hit the scene really hard, you know, meeting up with JD and being able to flip Crisscross Jump. And his career, you know what I mean? Like, you look at it to now, man, the growth was just like, okay, you got to respect it. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, regardless, you know what I mean? He had these like mini albums that were constantly going out. And then he had the, in 2013, the $100 album, the ProudToPay.com. You know what I mean? And Jay-Z, you know what I mean? Involuntarily buying a bunch of albums and supporting the movement, man. You know what I mean? Like, he started something that guys weren't even up on. And he believed in his product. Like, he was a pastor for those guys. He's a street soldier, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he talked. You know what I mean? Like, there, you know, different regions had their guys, but he was LA. He was an LA guy that could tap in to those street guys, blood or crip. You know what I mean? Like, undeniably, once you reach that gap, you can rap gang stuff all you want, but if you can break the gap of reaching blood and crip, you got something. And that's what his music was. Like, it didn't matter if he was from that side or if somebody killed somebody from there. They were still pushing his music because it was hard. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't lie. That was another thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to be like, okay, rap fans are suckers for true stories. And it's rare in a rap game. So when you find somebody that's so real and really back up what they do, like, on record, he's done everything that he's rapped about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like, damn, he's a liar. He created jobs. He bought up
the
block.
The proof was in the pudding, right? Like, there's receipts.
I think that's why, you know what I mean? Like, everybody teared up so hard about this news. You know what I mean? Like, I hate to curse or use this type of language, but he was a real nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that. And it's hard to go by. It's one time where you can be like, okay, hey, let me bring this certain, you know what I mean? He rap all his gangster stuff, and I bring him to LA, and he needs security, or he need that. You know what I mean? Not saying that Nip didn't need security, but in the situation, he was touchable. You know what I mean? Like, he was one of us. You know what I mean? And why he related to such young stars, because he preached the same stuff he was preaching in his records to those young guys. Like, look, you got all this money. You're way richer than me. But stop buying jewelry. Right. Stop doing this. Get a business. You know what I mean? And you hear it in his music. It wasn't like, okay, I can tell you this, but I'm also doing it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's why it meant so much to a Russell Westbrook or a James Harden, because he was also partnering up with these guys. He had a million ideas. Right. Like, okay, look, YG's from Compton. He's from my area. But he would mentor YG and say, look, you in that deal, but you really not gonna make the type of money you want to make because you don't own your masters. Or why you ain't doing this? You know what I mean? Like, he was that big brother on the scene and keeping it real, whether it was from guys from LA, whether it was guys from, you know, Meek Mill, it was guys like Dave East. He was the guy to go to because he always was going to keep it real. He always, you know what I mean? He welcomed them in. Anybody that come to LA, they always wanted to go to the Marathon store. He showed them the block. Anybody that's fascinated with that life, he showed them, but he also presented like, hey, man, this is real life. We not promoting it in that instance. You know what I mean? But I'm showing that you can make it out of this too.
Yeah. And like, real quick, like, I do want to talk about his music in the sense that, because unlike you, Trey, I didn't get on him until Victory Lap. Right. Like, and I said this earlier on the Basket Buzz when we talked about Nipsey. I was an elitist hip hop New Yorker. And you know, when I heard about Nipsey, I was like, oh, street dude from the West. Like, I don't want to hear street dude rap, right? Like, because in my own mind, I'm like, street dudes can't rap. Street dudes are good at being street dudes. Like, yeah, they're great at that. But that doesn't mean that, you know, they're going to have a facility with the art form or whatever. So I stupidly ignored what he was doing. Just on my own, turning my nose up, elitist, street dudes don't make good music, bullshit, whatever. Right. It was on the recommendation of Mari when we were previewing what's coming out for 2018 on Bomb. And Mari was like, yo, Nip is finally going to drop his major label release, Victory Lap. I'm really looking forward to it. And, you know, Mari's like my dude. Like, I really love his musical taste, all of that. I was like, damn, I guess I got to check this out. I listened to that album literally for 4 months straight, back to back. That was the album that I listened to, you know, more than anything. And what I remember specifically about first hearing it, it's like, one, this dude has a perspective, right? Like, he so clearly knows what he wants to say, how he wants to say it, why he wants to say it. It's so, his perspective is so crystal clear. And he was giving you the gangster bravado because he knew that if that wasn't part, like if he wasn't adding that part of it to the common sense knowledge, how to move forward in this world that isn't built for you as a black man, a lot of his listeners ain't gonna connect with it. So he knew he had to give him, yo, bro, I've been in shootouts. You know what I'm saying? I lost a bunch of homies that are dead. I got a bunch of homies doing life. Like, for real. Like, you can look these motherfuckers up. Like, this is my real life. You know? So he did feel the need to put that in the art so that guys would know, like, no, this guy is, like, stamped, official. You know? But he was so clear. He was so clear about what he wanted to say and why he wanted to say it. And I just thought that was so cool. And that's why, like,
ruthless charisma.
Oh my God, man. Oh my. And it's not just in the words. Like, if you watch his video, like, the guy had a presence about him. Like,
the whole thing is, like, insanely well choreographed, for lack of a better word. There's so much charisma. It's crazy.
And it's like, you know, sometimes, like, especially off of the earlier Victory Lap stuff, I'm like, yo, this is so cool because it's basically like a Crip commercial. You know what I'm saying? It's basically like if the Crips made a slick-ass Apple commercial, like, that's basically what Nipsey Hussle's videos were. I was like, yo, this is, like, his vision, his clarity, his, you know, his tastes were just impeccable. And so that's why it kind of hurts me. You know, the last 3 days, like, just seeing pictures, hearing accounts of the dude, and just, and I'm not gonna lie, I haven't been able to listen to the music, like, it's just too close. It's kind of like, it's still, like, just to think about what happened, how it happened, it's still too fresh. But when I think about, like, what this guy was saying, like, what he was explaining to people, like, this is what I stand for, and for him to just get shot like a dog, bro, in front of his store, like, that shit just... It's just crazy, you know. And we could talk about the little bit that we do know, because the cops have in custody the guy.
Real quick, before we get to that, I just have one other thing that, like, I mean, of course, it's gonna make me curious. Was it true? So I've heard, and this is separate totally from, you know, maybe some of the, like, the conspiracy stuff that I know. Maybe you want to touch on, Trey, but I think, again, one of the reasons that I loved him, and it's very different, but I said at the outset, I think one of the reasons that I like Nas is that sort of, like, intellectualism with all of the things that Waz just outlined, and that kind of, like, fusion and charisma. But he also had this, I mean, just literally, like, his father was from Eritrea. Yeah. I read, someone told me that his father was a Marxist.
That wouldn't surprise me.
I played a clip on my show of him talking about the economics of rap in, like, 2006. So he's, you know, I don't know. He's very young. Mm-hmm. And, like, I always think it's interesting when people in pop culture, like, to me specifically, use the word capitalist as, like, a pejorative. Like, I like that, of course. And then also, but at the same time, you also saw the vision was very clear. Like, I'm gonna buy real estate, I'm gonna do X, X, and X. So I guess I'm interested, like, he was so of a certain specific environment, which people need to understand better, but he's also you know, African, he's global.
Yeah, he's the, like, child of two immigrants.
Which... Yeah, can you connect that thread too?
His background really didn't roll out until, like, you know what I mean? Cause, like, I didn't see that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I just looked at him like, you know what I mean? Like, oh, he's one of us. You know what I mean? Like, in general, like, you know what I mean? Like, Compton or LA born, you know what I mean? But Ermy is
generally in your neighborhood, Trey, is black Americans, right?
Yeah, black and Hispanic culture, you know what I mean? So it's a lot of black and Mexican.
Not a lot of people like African immigrant parents.
No, not at all.
Most people, their parents are straight up Americans for generations.
Like generations of African Americans who have been in the United States.
So in his situation, for him to be able to, you know, to even be, you know, involved in gangs, that's even another thing. You know what I mean? Like growing up in that rough neighborhood, because that's a rough neighborhood. And that is actually like one of the gangs that kind of got it going, got the Los Angeles gang culture going. You know what I mean? That's been around almost 70, 80 years now at this point now. You know what I mean? So you have to look at it from that situation and then him going to schools and getting involved in certain things and then finally waking up and going to see and tapping in with his culture and becoming business mindset. Cause you know what I mean? Like he sat down for a while, he ended up going to jail. And I think that was the big picture right there of like, I got all this time to think. And when I get home, I'm going to do this. And he did it. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, and that's super rare that someone can bypass the scenario of like, oh, you rap. That's cool because you're from LA. You know what I mean? Everybody raps. Now, are you good? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you good or not? Then you bypass that part, and then, you know, you have a good summer where you're rumored to sign with Rick Ross, and you turn that down, and everybody's like, yo, you're crazy.
Right.
I would have went MMG.
Right.
But he believed in his brand. He believed in it wouldn't have fit. You know what I'm saying? Like, unfortunately, it didn't work for Stolly, and Stolly ended up going over there. It probably would have been the same situation, and Dom Kennedy the same. Those guys from the district knew what their brand was, and they knew that they didn't really want to do that. So they stuck with what they knew best. In his situation overall, it's just like, you know, him going over there to Eritrea and finding out his roots and coming back and really tapping in with, you know, Dr. Sebi and stem cells and stuff like that. It was big because his interviews was almost as big as than his music. Most people watch his interviews more than actual listening to his music.
Yeah.
That is exactly how I started listening to his music. I saw him, I think, on Desus and Mero or something like that, and it was just autoplay on YouTube. Like, I was in the other room, like, watching some clips, putting off doing some work or something, and then it came on. And I just overheard him in the other room. I don't remember what it was, but I remember I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's not, because to me, like most musicians, period, are bad interviews.
150 million percent. Same with athletes. That's the same thing.
Jumped out. That jump. I was like, I definitely need to listen to this guy's music because he's giving a good fuck. Either he's going to be the opposite, end up being a terrible rapper and a great like media presence, or he's a fucking genius.
Pull up in motor cash. I got a show today. It's all I'm trying to do. Hustle and motivate. Choppers are throwaway. Hustle the overweight. That's why they follow me, huh? They think I know the way. Cause I took control of things. Ballin' the solo way. And if you pattern my trend, I make you my protege. Slossin' that soldier race. Niggas don't know them days. Take you in back of the buildings. Make you expose your rage.
Okay, so the police have basically, they put out the guy's name. They said, we're looking for Eric Holder, which I don't know.
Arrested him, right? No?
Yeah, they arrested him. They brought him in, but I'm just going in chronological order.
Oh, got it.
And I can explain that, too, how he was apprehended as well. I mean, because it's out. So, I mean, we can talk about that stuff. And, so where do you want to start?
And his name being, sorry, but because this is Woke Bros, his name being Eric Holder just was like a mind fuck. Because that was Obama's attorney general. And it's just like,
that was of course.
Exactly. And that opened up a whole nother thing for the conspiracy stuff.
What
which
the
was
fuck?
Wait. So is this like QAnon of hip hop right now? Like, let's get the conspiracy stuff out of the way. Yeah, what's going on?
The conspiracy is essentially Nipsey Hussle is a black leader And right. He's teaching black empowerment. He's teaching black ownership. He's telling black people to do for themselves. He's like in his content now, he's pushing a documentary about a black doctor who claimed to allege to have cured AIDS in the 80s. And
I swear to God, I don't want to get into my family, but that dude's books were in my family's house growing up.
Yeah, I mean,
talking about Sebi, yeah.
Yeah, that.
Yes, absolutely.
Michael, your mom middle named you Jamal, so I am not even in the slightest bit surprised.
Remember the former president of South Africa, Thabo Mbeki, like he caused this global controversy like in the early 2000s by questioning the HIV/AIDS link. And my dad was, who never followed politics, was like, "Who's the president of South Africa?" I said,
"So the theory, Mike, is that Nipsey was such a beacon of hope for black people, the government decided to take him out. He crossed the red line when he wanted to make a documentary about
him. This is why white people think
JFK. Like Big Pharma would actually come for that. I just don't understand.
And that the
shots were too professional. I just, you know, yeah. What I mean? Like it was just so disrespectful to Los Angeles as a city, as a gang culture, as, you know, what everything is, you know what I mean? Even to his family, you know what I mean? Like that's so wrong, wrong.
Trey, I want you to explain this. I want you to explain this to people, because a lot of people don't understand. They just can't believe the idea that somebody from his neighborhood, somebody that knew him personally, would walk up to him and gun him down on the streets. They just can't believe that that's possible. Could you explain to people the culture around that area and why that's not something that's completely crazy or out of the realm of possibility?
It is not out of its realm. People shoot each other from the same hood all the time. He just happened to be a star. You know what I mean? Like, if he was not Nipsey Hussle, we'd be like, damn, RIP. That's it. You know what I mean? He just happens to have a name, and he happens to be, you know what I mean, who he was. You know what I mean? But that happens so often in the neighborhood that it just doesn't get talked about. You know what I mean? Like, and in this situation, like, you know what I mean? Like, we just hate to see him leave us. You know what I mean? Like, in that situation. But to better explain, the suspect came up to the store early on. That the shooting wasn't his first visit. It was the second visit. So, and obviously the news just rolled out, obviously, that why Nipsey was there without his bodyguard, J-Rock. He didn't tell J-Rock. He decided to go up there and help a friend out because a friend's relative was getting out of jail after serving 20 years. And he decided to help them, you know, get some clothes to provide for him upon his release. So that's why he was there. And, you know, it's a rare situation of catching Nipsey up there. He wasn't just hanging out there or, you know what I mean? Like, him at the store was kind of like seeing a full moon, every blue moon. You know what I mean? Like, unless he wanted, you know, to take somebody, another artist there, or someone's like, hey, fool, I'm here in town. You know what I mean? He'll pull up. And this particular time, you know, the timing just was so bad that he was just there. You know what I mean? He took a couple pictures with his fans. And he had a few homeboys there. But, you know, ideally in the back of your mind, you're looking like who would harm a king in his fortress or his own thing. You know what I mean? So like in the back of his mind, I'm pretty sure he was thinking like, nah, like nothing, I'm good here. You know what I mean? Like, this is my people, it's my block. I own this. Like, I literally own this. Like, I'm not talking crazy. I own this. Nobody's gonna do anything to me. Because no rival gang would go over there and actually.
Right. Okay, so do you want to get into what's been alleged? What the words that were exchanged between those two? You want to keep that out?
I would basically say this at this point because it's so loose and out of respect of that neighborhood gang. The guy was alleged called an informant. You know what I mean? Okay. And for street code, informants aren't welcome, regardless. You know what I mean? Whether it's truth or not.
So that isn't just sort of like, okay, I've heard
it's not. It's not a movie thing. This is a real thing. So
he's saying
those rumors have been out there.
Oh, that this guy.
Out there a lot.
Yeah,
about
so he was pretty much
You're
on papers.
That that's credible.
Yeah. I was pretty much on papers, and respectively, the guy that Nipsey was pretty much just told him like, "Yo, you're not welcome on my block."
And by the way, and just so people know, this isn't a case of, you know, I'm a tough guy. You're somebody that's worked with the government. You shouldn't come here. It's they let you out early. You're talking to those people. You're telling on people. You can't hang out here because there might be potential criminals here. Right. Like you're going to get people locked up. That's basically the ethos, which back in the days, some people would say, well, yo, as soon as people found out that they would have just killed the guy.
Yeah.
Right. What Nipsey was saying was like, just don't come here.
Yeah. You know, he's being mature about it. He's like, look, I mean, because honestly, you're not going to he's personally not going to waste any breath, any time, not throwing anything away on this guy. You know what I mean? Like, right. And it's unfortunate that. The guy, you know what I mean? Like the best way to address it, Artemis Gordon on Instagram said that this guy who had mental issues in the past just did not like the idea or you know how some people
somebody telling him to step off.
So he felt humiliated?
Yes. More so humiliated, but also sunned. You know what I mean? In a situation of like, this is a man. A respected man, and I'm being talked to like a boy. You know what I'm saying? And at that point, it was like, you know what I mean? Realistically, we can beat you up or do even worse because you shouldn't be around here. But you chose to come around here, and I'm telling you nicely to go keep banging up the street. Like, go wherever you're going to go. I'm not going to do anything to you, but leave. And he didn't like that. So in his... You know what I mean? In his best way possible, thought that was the best way to solve that issue. And unfortunate, you know, again, you know, everybody's like, why and how does this happen? Yes, it's pride and ego. But that's across America. Right. You know what I mean? Like that's a guy getting cut off in driving. That's a guy defending his woman. That's a guy you know, being outshined on the basketball court. That happens in America all the time. So this is nothing that's new. It just happened to be Nipsey Hussle, who's the victim.
But
I'm not defending, like, I agree with everything you said about conspiracy theories. And, you know, that's even its own rabbit hole, right? Like,
right.
Families from Sandy Hook get harassed because some asshole says it's fake, right?
Right.
But I do think, like, there is that. I have a sympathy for that psychological, like, defense, right?
Oh, 100%. I get it.
Like, why does someone this cool get killed over nonsense? And it just so happens, like, he's not there with his bodyguard because he's actually, like, of course, like, he's helping somebody out, right? Like, and if the version you just gave is true, he handled something in a very, you know, absolutely relaxed way, whatever. Why the fuck? Well, maybe because of the pharmaceutical industry, right? Like, in a way that's more comforting.
Yeah, maybe. And guess what? Maybe it is because this guy is off of his rocker. He hasn't gotten the treatment that he needed to get in life. But, you know, like Trey just said, like, this shit happens all the time. People die for no reason in the quote-unquote inner cities of America all the time. You know, like this time it just happened to be somebody who we loved and we thought was important and was doing great work. But this happens all the time. That's why the conspiracy kind of bothers me. It's like, what are you talking about, dude? You know, and again, somebody like Nipsey, somebody like Trey would tell you like, dude, to the point where he's still, you know how many people Trey knows personally who didn't make it to 30?
Right.
You know, like this isn't
This is what it is.
This is what it is. This is not the outlier. This is the standard. This is the norm. That's what people, when they go to the conspiracy, aren't getting. Because you know why? They're tweeting about conspiracies from their comfortable-ass crib. They don't understand the reality of what's happening or what has been happening for decades, right? In this cross-section in our country. You know, like, on that corner of Slauson and Crenshaw, and Trey just told you, like, bro, like, this is one of the pioneering gang neighborhoods of Los Angeles. You know, so this isn't some rant. This isn't some weird occurrence. This is what happens, man, far too often. And so that's why, to go with the, man, he was making a, it's like, no, he was in that neighborhood, you know. And by the way, like, he understood being in his neighborhood, there was a potential danger. Not even that somebody was bringing the drama to Nip's door. That they could be bringing the drama next door, and he might get caught up in that. Yeah. And that's why I think, like, the courage, you know, the just courage that it took to do what he was doing, where he was doing it at, for the reasons that he was. And that's the, you know, that's the ultimate tragedy and irony of it all, right? Like, and I was saying this to a couple of my buddies. I was like, even with the informant stuff, right? Like, you can really say Nip was dying over honor. He was talking about honor. Like, what you did was dishonorable. And what you could potentially do to people.
Yeah, because he was a stand-up guy, dude. That's what he lived by it. He lived by it. No, he did not go any. That's the thing. That's why it was so crazy. And that's why he's so held upon so high, because he was a young king. It's not too many people that's going to really pretty much say one thing and actually do it. You know what I'm saying? That was the one thing that really kind of, when he walked in the room, he got everybody's attention, because it was like, damn, he rapped about that and he did it. Damn, he really owns that. Damn, that's really his. You know what I'm saying? Normally, somebody's loaning that, somebody's doing that. That ain't really his. He only owned half of that. He might rent that. You know what I mean? But it sound good because right. It's on TV. That dude really knew business. He knew what he needed to do. He knew what direction he was going to. And the next transition was to, the next day he was supposed to meet with the LAPD. You know how powerful it is? Listen, this dude is a former criminal. You got to understand, he went to jail and the LAPD mourned his death. You know how crazy that is? Like, do you know how crazy that is? Like, the LAPD mourned his death. This dude has been in jail before.
Well, also that it was like, it also caught me too, that he was coming from such a leveraged position that going to have that meeting the next day was, it's both that the LAPD embraced a former criminal, you know, as you said, who'd been in prison, whatever, who was still not, but also not like, you know, ooh, I'm repentant, right? Like, I want to do something different, but I'm still absolutely part of that culture, 100%. And then conversely, that you know, I don't know, like actually pulling off, like, yeah, I'm gonna go have like a conference with the police, and you know that I'm coming from like a position of leadership, so that wouldn't lower my like equity from where I'm from either, right? Like that's succeeding across the board.
Well, I honestly look at it like, if he would have successfully been able to meet, I think he changes the view on Gang Injunction. Like, you got to think about it. I was in Gang Injunction, dude. I'm a square, dog. Explain like, that. You got to understand. Like, I went to college. Gang Injunction. Like,
yeah, tell the people what Gang Injunction
is. So, in general, if you're hanging out in a neighborhood, there's normally unmarked cars taking pictures of you, right? And then, whenever they want to plan it, they apprehend you. And then they just put you on file and they say, okay, boom.
When we saw you hanging out, exactly. Slapping five with known gang members.
So here's the thing. You're now on fingerprints. Papers. They do all this. I'm on papers. My father was from Elm Street, Piru. My mother, who's alive to this day, my dad was murdered when I was 9 in 94. But my mother is from Santana Block Crip. You have to understand that my name is in that Gang Injunction, regardless if I like it or not, whether I went to college, whether I'm a school teacher now, it doesn't matter. I didn't get off Gang Injunction until like 3 years ago. Jesus. You know how crazy that is? I'm 34 years old now.
Yes.
I've never committed a crime. Do you know how crazy that is?
What Trey's explaining to you is like for Nipsey Hussle to be able to call the LAPD, call the powers that be, the bosses over there, and be like, y'all want to have a conversation with you guys and what we could do to improve things. And they're like, let's fucking do this. That's the type of man we're talking about today. Man.
And we lost.
That's fucking depressing.
And that's why L.A. mourns, because at the end of the day, we found hope in him.
Jesus Christ, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the music might not have hit like it's supposed to hit worldly. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't about Victory Lap being better than Scorpion or being right. better than an album. It was right. what he was doing on the streets, what he represented. You know what I mean? Like, it was so bigger. And that's why when you listen to his music now, and that's why his sales are now up 2,700 and whatever the number is, and people are crying when they listen to it, and they've actually given time to actually hear what he's saying, you're going to be like, wow. The yeah. growth from 2008 to 2019, you hear it. Everything he said he was going to do, he did it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Real story. Right up into talking to the police, man, about making things better. Like, it's, you know, it's just incredible. The guy put his money where his mouth was, man, like literally in a way that not many people do. You know, and again, like just and I get the idea that the U.S. government would try to hurt a black leader. Right. Like, that's not foreign to me. You know, like, we know what COINTELPRO was. We read the FBI file on Malcolm X, on Martin Luther King, for God's
Fred
sake.
Fred Hampton.
You know what I mean? Fred Hampton. Like, we know what the vibes are. But this particular case, I think, you know, and Trey will tell you, and anybody who's close to the situation, who's close to Nip, and say you're barking up the wrong tree here.
Yeah, I mean, it's just really disrespectful, because his wife is now a widow. His children don't have a father. His mother has to bury her son. Like, these are things that people really have to figure out the next couple of days. People can post all the IG posts they want. People can post all the tweets they want. People can post all the Facebook posts they want. In reality, after this week, whether they stop paying homage, whatever, these people have to go on about their lives, not about some damn conspiracy theory. No one's all thinking right. at the night, ah, damn it, Big Pharma. No.
Right.
No. The guy has been apprehended, and now for what? For yeah. what? For what? Was it worth it? You get no points for killing Nipsey Hussle. You took away a young king. You took away our leader. You took away someone who was really about his community, who wanted to really make it better. You know what I'm saying? Because your ego was hurt. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't think we ever will understand it. I don't think no one could ever forgive somebody for this, because I just don't see anyone being responsible who would want that weight on their shoulders to replace him. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's another thing. You get people, look at what LeBron James did. He did a school, but does LeBron want parts of inner city culture and gangs and embodying all that?
Nah.
No. This dude had a career. He could have moved all the way. He could have built business in Malibu. He could have built business in Calabasas. He could have did all that stuff and stayed
away from
the hood.
He went to Beverly Hills. He could have went to Fairfax.
He could have went to anywhere. He built it on his block. He hired people that he knew. You know what I'm saying? And that's the heartbreaking part, because so many people depended on him. He gave, you know what I mean? Like, that's the thing. He took his homies out of the hood and showed them a different life. They know nothing after this. That's all they know. They're lost without him. He was their leader. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He showed them a different way. Look, dude, you don't need to be on the streets. I can't lose you to the jail system. Come on, do this with me. Go work at the store. I'm gonna put some money in your pocket. Let's start this business. He's gone. We can't get another one of him back. That's why LA's hurt. You know what I'm saying? You didn't have to know personally Nipsey. If you look down the timeline, everybody has a moment with him. He took time to take pictures with people. He took time to talk to kids. He spent his own money fixing up schools, painting basketball courts. He didn't play basketball. You know what I'm saying? NBA players barely do that and give money back. Investing in STEM systems. Like, you know what I mean? Like, not like that's not happening around the United States, but it's happening in the inner city, like in the 60s, in his hood, where he was. You know what I'm saying? Educating his people. I could tell you now, people in my hood alone don't know about certain things and question the stuff that I do. They're like 5 years late behind the things that I even do sometimes and don't understand why and look at me like I'm crazy. They say, oh, you're white. That's the word. Oh, man, you proper, man. You sold out. You do this. And then it all makes sense towards, you know what I mean? Like, I remember the first time I went vegetarian. It was like the mind, like, dude, like I lost, like I sold my soul. You know what I'm saying? Realistically, like, dog, your grandma.
No, I know hear you.
I know your grandma. She raised me. She raised my cousin. She raised you. You grew up on fried chicken. How could you? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's crazy to me. Yeah. You know what I mean? But that's the thing, because we're lack of, you know what I mean? Like, I seen something about Shaquille O'Neal saying every time he got pulled over by the cops, he says, yes, sir, no, sir. He doesn't want to add stress to their lives. Do you have to understand, we in Compton did not even have a police department. We had sheriffs. Do you know what that is? The different jurisdiction of the sheriffs and the police department? Like, normally other cities have, okay, Oakland PD, San Francisco PD, Phoenix PD, New York PD. We don't have that. We have sheriffs. They can kick your door in and do training day, steal your money, your hard-earned money, and say, oh, we didn't find nothing. Or it can tear up your house. Oh, we didn't find who we were looking for. And go on about their business. I got my face slammed in the grass, Waz, at 12 years old. And they said, I robbed a store. I robbed a store at 12. I was riding my bike really fast just because I wanted to ride my bike really fast. And luckily, I made it to my yard and my grandma ran out of the house and said, wait, wait, wait. What are you doing? They said, he robbed a place. They're patting me down. I have no gun on me. They have the guy in the back seat, and he says, that's not him. I'm 12, and I have to deal with that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But that's just not my story. You think about that kids are dealing with. You're faced with the opportunity of choosing which side do you want to bank at 12 years old. You're not given a normal 12-year-old life. You don't have both parents. You have nobody tucking you in. You're not getting a driver's license at 16. You're not driving a car at 16. These are people that still need training on how to even react around police. We were taught to run when you see the police.
And these are the people he was trying to uplift, man. You know, I think you did a good job of explaining what the guy's legacy will be. And it's only been 3 days, but I think slowly but surely people are starting to understand the severity, the weight of it. And I'm happy that you came on today to give people that clarity, because, you know, even for me, my very short time in Los Angeles, and to be honest, like, what me and Trey or me and my cousin do in Los Angeles, we on the other side, right? Like, you know, we in West Hollywood, we're doing the other LA type of stuff, right? Like, we're not in Watts, right? We're not in Hoover. We're not in Lemire Park. We're not in South Central. That's not where we're at, right? Like, that's not our everyday experience. But I'm happy Trey was able to come on to explain to people, you know, where this guy is from and what it meant for him to be trying to help these people. Not only just help himself, enrich himself, what it meant for him to be like, nah, we're going to figure out and make a better way for all of these people, because we fucking deserve that shit. So, Trey, I'm really happy you came on today, man. I think you painted a beautiful picture. And I know this was very emotional for you, as it's been emotional for all of us. I know pretty much everybody who I've spoken to, especially if you were, you know, a young black man like myself, like Trey, and, you know, and you feel like you're somebody who's out in the world trying to make better for yourself, better for the people around you. This loss really affected every single person I know who is like that. So
he looks like us. So, I mean, that's I think that's why it's more real, because you've been on those same streets with me. You drove up them same streets, and that could be anyone. You know what I mean? Yep. Like, and I think that's the more realistic situation of, like, this happens every day. and people aren't replaceable, and just be mindful of what's still going on in this neighborhood while you have the chance. You know what I mean? Be mindful of the community. Be mindful of his family. Be mindful of LA's culture, because it's real. This is not a video game. It's not a reset button. You don't get a second try. It's not April Fool's, which we all hoped it would be. Like, this man does not get a second chance at life. All the stuff he built up to die in front of. That's cold.
Mike, do you have anything else? Sorry, Chad.
No, you're good.
I don't have anything to add to that. I just want to thank Trey. And I mean, yeah, I'm honored. Thanks for coming on and doing this with us. And I really, really hope that, you know, there's so many different layers to it. So I just hope that, you know, speaking obviously with Trey from the heart of it, but if you're listening in Nebraska and you learn, like, this is actually relevant to you too, in my opinion. So thanks.
All right, man. That was this week's episode of Woke Bros. Thank Trey. Obviously, always the comrade Mike, Uber Junior producer Roberto Lopez, man. Thanks to all the patrons. Thanks to just everybody for supporting what we do. Again, you know, obviously I know about the Athletic deal and all of that, but this feed will continue to go strong. All your favorite voices will continue to be on it. We will see you guys next week. We out. Look, I laid down the game for you niggas. Taught you how to charge more than what they paid for you niggas. On the whole thing for you niggas. Reinvest, double up, then explain for you niggas. It gotta be like. I'm conscious that there's a intentional pushback from allowing. We could unpack each one of those people that look like me. Yeah, I'm supposed to be in jail or dead. It's a whole prison complex. You know what I'm saying? Then you think about as an artist, there's a business model that exists in the music industry to prevent you from having ownership, to prevent you from being a partner in the lion's share of the profit. And dirty money get washed on royalty statements. Black owners in this game are powerful races. The value is created in content. So when I think of us as hip hop artists, we create content, but we don't have a wide product line. You go to Disneyland, they got tons of products, ears and at Disney, Mickey, everything. And so that's the vision behind the Marathon store. It was more natural, and it resonated at a higher frequency to put it on Crenshaw and Slauson just because of the significance of that corner. I've been hustling on that corner since I was 15. We all started right there. We popped a trunk and was grinding on that corner from kids, from teenagers. Love. Had to fight before we hustled, and it made us tough. Early 90s, neighbors Rooster used to wake us up. Mama had a bucket and a shack.